I'm John Meacham. Welcome to Fate of Fact, Season 1. This series is about how and why fact became a casualty of war in the United States. Please listen and follow Fate of Fact, a presentation of Shining City Audio, a John Meacham and C-13 original studio. Available now for free on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talking Golf. Glad you can join me. And joining me now is Kiawah Island master developer Buddy Darby. Buddy and his team turned Kiawah Island into a top resort and the ocean course into the championship gem that it is. Buddy, welcome to Talking Golf.
Hey, Ann, how are you? Thanks for having me on.
I'm good. I'm so good. And, you know, Buddy and I met in the early days of Doon Bay Golf Club in Southwest Ireland, which Buddy and his team built. It was one of my favorite spots on the planet, Buddy, as you know. And I first discovered Doon Bay through Tourism Ireland and then did a show on the golf course before it opened with the late, great Ed Tovey, who was the membership director at that time, and then went back a few weeks later and interviewed Greg Norman, the course designer. What a great history, really. So enjoyed my time at Doon Bay.
Yep, great golf course, and you know, I had a lot of good times there. And your interview with Greg, that was about as good an interview as I've ever seen with Greg.
I appreciate that. I remember it like it was just yesterday. So, well, let's talk about the history of Kiawah Island, when you got involved, and what was it like in the early days?
Well, I bought Kiawah in 1988 with a group of us, and, you know, there was no ocean course. The Kuwait Investment Company had started a development in 77. And when I came in, I had a player, a Nicholas, and a Fazio golf course, and then partnered up with Landmark Land, and together we built the ocean course. And Landmark at the time was one of the best purveyors of golf, and they had the rights to the 1991 Ryder Cup. So when golf became popular and we lost the Ryder Cup in 87 and tied in 89, it was scheduled to go to PGA West. And so when as golf became popular, especially overseas, to get everybody watching the golf before they could go to sleep, we had to move it, and we put it on a golf course that Pete Dye did that wasn't even built yet. Very controversial, but... it was, as you know, the war by the shore sort of defined the Ryder Cup. And, you know, since then we've added two new private courses, one by Tom Watson and another one by Tom Fazio. So we have seven golf courses on the island. But people really come here for the beach and the environment.
It's just a gorgeous, gorgeous spot. And, boy, that's funny that the Ryder Cup was announced to be played on Kiawah Island at the ocean course before the ocean course was even built. That must have been interesting. What do you remember from that 91 Ryder Cup?
Oh, I mean, it was my first major, you know, hosting a first major, any kind of golf tournament, really, but obviously jumping right into the Ryder Cup. And, you know, it went down to the last putt, the last group, you know, on the last day. And, you know, it was just high drama. And, you know, it really sort of, as I said, defined the Ryder Cup. So it was, you know, after that, you know, it sort of put Kiawah on the map.
It definitely put Kiawah on the map. And, hey, you walked with Phil Mickelson in round one, and I know you know him well. What did you see from him that day, and did you ever think he'd be the leader going into this final round? I mean, what a remarkable story.
Well, you know, when you know, he'll tell you that you know, he's been striking the ball. I mean, I followed him in at the American Express this year, and he's hitting the ball as long as Ricky Fowler and Cantlay today. They played. You know, he's probably in the best shape he's ever been. You know, and so the game's been inside of him. He had a really good day, I guess, at Quail Hollow the first day. And then when he came out here, you know, I think the ocean course, I mean, as I look outside today, it's the wind's going to be kicking up a little bit. And, you know, you have to be patient. And, you know, probably experience plays a lot into, you know, playing this course now. So he certainly has a lot of that. And it'll be a fun day today. It's great, you know, be great for golf, great for him, obviously. But, you know, it should be a good day.
I mean, he's been talking about, you know, not having the focus long term. Do you notice anything different when you were walking with him as far as what he was doing, as far as visualization? I know it seems like he's taken a little more time before he hits his tee shots, before he makes his putts, to try to visualize the shot.
I think he's trying to really, you know, really focus on that ball going, you know, on the fairway and in the hole when he's putting. And, you know, like I said, the game, you know, he's got the game inside of him, obviously, to be leading a major with a lot of really good young players out there is pretty remarkable.
So now they're saying that the wind is going to be completely different today than it has been all week. Can you talk about, you know the course so well, can you talk about how the different wind today will affect, you know, the course and the players?
Well, I mean, the first 2 days and into part of yesterday, the wind was coming out of the north, which was the same wind that we had for the Ryder Cup. And which is an unusual wind, especially this time of year. So it's clocked around. It's now the prevailing wind from the southwest. So it's going to be a totally different wind than everybody has played for the first 3 days. You know, I don't think it's going to be really windy, but, you know, it's going to be, you know, different. 17, which has been playing into the wind, will now be downwind. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, here again, I mean, you know, you got two guys at the top that, you know, obviously have negotiated everything so far pretty well. But, you know, Phil seems to, you know, be able, very analytical and thinks a lot. And, you know, I think he's given credit to his brother for, who's on his bag for, you know, sort of figuring the wind out. So we'll see what, you know, we'll see what happens today.
Wow, that par 3 17th to play that downwind, that's going to be brutal. I mean, it's brutal as it is, but downwind, man, that's crazy. You know, obviously since you built Kiawah Island and, you know, in the early days and brought Pete Dye in to design the ocean course, you have so many friends that come in and out, you know, in golf. And what has been the highlight of your week so far? I mean, I ran into Darius Rucker from Hooting the Blowfish, and he said he had just visited with you. And I know you saw Padraig Harrington, you know, Padraig from Ireland and Doonbeg. What has been the highlight of your week so far? I mean, this must be just a great week to run into everybody.
Well, I mean, actually the highlight is I got three little grand boys. So being able to take them out on the golf course, you know, we've gone full circle. I have pictures. My kids were small at the Ryder Cup. And, you know, so that's been the highlight. But I mean, you know, it's been a great week, and a lot of people have been, you know, you get to see a lot of friends. I mean, some of the PGA of America guys that were here in the early days, they were here, and so it's been, you know, it's been a good week. It's been a long week, but, you know, I think everybody is pretty excited about today. The crowds are, you know, the crowds have been limited, I think, to 10,000 people, but it seems that they play a lot bigger than, you know, than they are. They're very vocal, and I'm sure they're going to be, you know, following the last group pretty good today.
What are your thoughts about today? Do you think Phil will maintain, or anything obviously can happen, but who are you picking?
Well, obviously, you know, my relationship with Phil, I mean, I think for golf, it'd be a great story. I can barely get around the golf course myself and do well. So, I mean, I can't give these guys any advice, but, you know, I think you just gotta, you have to go out today and just make sure that, you know, you don't have a big number on a hole. If you can just stay steady, I don't think they're going to be a lot of low scores today. So, we'll see.
Tell me about Christoph Harbour. I know you've been working on Christoph Harbour and St. Kitts. I was there a number of years ago. Give us an update.
So Christoph Harbour is a development, and I'm really excited. We have a Park Hyatt, 127-room Park Hyatt, and mega yacht marina, and now have a lot of homes that have been built. And we probably have one of the best sites for a golf course. I mean, it's just amazing. You play at sea level, you know, all the way up to 450 feet. So, you know, we're getting ready to start that. Obviously, COVID has been challenging. And so I look forward to, you know, beginning that hopefully by the end of the year.
It's exciting. Beautiful spot down there. You have a good eye for great golf spots, Buddy Darby. You really do. And don't underrate your own game. I remember you came up and played in my charity tournament a number of years ago, and you drained so many long bombs. We actually won my own tournament. A little embarrassing from my part, but
yeah,
you'll have to come up.
Yeah, the cardinal rule, you can't win your own tournament. I learned that a long time ago.
So I know.
We had fun.
We had a great time. You'll have to come up. This year's charity event, the Anne LaGorry Foundation Charity Golf Classic to benefit cancer research, is Thursday, September 16th at the Maidstone Club. So you'll have to come up and maybe defend you'll have to win another one.
Yep. I'll be there.
I love it. Well, Buddy, thank you so much. Enjoy the day. And, you know, if Phil doesn't get it done today, he certainly has been taking us on a thrill ride all week, right? I mean, he's really a testament to his passion for golf, for staying in shape, for constantly working to improve mentally and physically. And you know, that's what true champions are all about. So it's been really inspirational to watch Phil Mickelson, particularly this week, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, obviously, he would be tremendously disappointed if he doesn't win. But, you know, to be at the leaderboard going into today is a pretty good feat. I mean, especially when, you know, Father Time is, you know, fighting you all the time.
Absolutely. Well, it's just been so thrilling to watch. Hey, buddy, let's connect again soon. Hope to see you up at the tournament at Maidstone on September 16th. My thanks to Buddy Darby, to Mike Perkey, to Ed Arzuman in the studio, to my hosts in Charleston, CeCe and Pete Young. And Talking Golf with Anne LaGorry is brought to you by Travelers, proud sponsor of the Travelers Championship, June 24th through the 27th. Travelers, it's better under the umbrella. Stay tuned for the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf. Enjoy the PGA Championship. Go Phil. And I'll talk with you next Sunday morning right here on Talking Golf with Anne LaGorry.
I'm John Meacham. Welcome to Fate of Fact, Season 1. This series is about how and why fact became a casualty of war in the United States. Please listen and follow Fate of Fact, a presentation of Shining City Audio, a John Meacham and C13 original studio. Available now for free on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.